I think, first of all, it's mixed blood characters have always been popular. The clash of the cultures goes all back to the old Hollywood movie, The Pale Face. But I think a great deal of it is the fact that we are all in it. We all do, in a sense, feel like aliens. How many friends do you make in a whole life with all these millions of people around you? Four or five, if you're really lucky? We're all trying to communicate with each other. And here's Spock from a strange place, only half human, having trouble communicating and wanting things and being unable to have them. It's a powerful image. I think also another thing that helped, so I had a theory that if I made him look a little satanic, and the ears certainly help, that the ladies might find that a very attractive face. And I'm not putting down ladies, but history is full of the fact that they slightly, a hint of slight evil, dashing evil. And you have, of course, you have that in all the great heroes, Don Juan, Errol Flynn. I found even out as a teenager, if the mother said, I like that Gene Roddenberry, I got nowhere. If she said, don't you ever see him again, I've heard he's an awful boy. The girl was always interested. Maybe the ladies deserve a applause for being daring and wanting something that isn't mamly-pamly. It's important to understand that the Star Trek fans and the so-called Trekkies are not just a band of screaming kids. There includes senators, college presidents. I was recently at a big Midwest college where I was told that Dr. So-and-so, the president, or the head of the Department of Sociology, and this is, and I won't tell you the university because it's one of the largest, was going to introduce me that evening. And he certainly did it. At 7:30, he came out. I was introduced. He was wearing a Captain Kirk suit, a gray-headed man with a string of degrees. I hardly knew how to relate with him.
Space, the final frontier. These are the continuing voyages of the starship Enterprise. Their ongoing mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life forms and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
My agent called me and said, Gene Roddenberry, who was the producer of the show you just did, has called and is interested in talking to you about a pilot that he's going to do. It's a science fiction pilot. There's a character in it that he thinks you might be right for. So I came to the studio to have a meeting with Gene to discuss it, and he had some thoughts clearly in mind about what the character was going to be all about. Some of the areas were still undeveloped and were to be discussed and experimented with. My concern was that he was talking about an alien. He was talking about a man who would look alien and who would be half-human, which made him interesting for me immediately, because there would be the internal conflict to play, and I think that's very important for the character. But as I said, my concern was that he wanted an alien look, and the one thing that he had clearly defined in his mind at that moment was pointed ears. Now, pointed ears could be a joke, and my concern was that I was being asked to play a character who could become the Dumbo of the 1960s. Certainly wasn't interested in doing anything like that. But as we talked, I did get the sense that he was intending to develop a character that had dignity, that had style, grace, poise, intelligence. And I thought with all of that on the one side and pointed ears on the other, perhaps we could pull off a character who would be intriguing, who would be different, who would be interesting, and would not be a joke. That was the point. I was most concerned about that, and I think we managed to do it. After the show had been on the air a week or two, I started getting some fan mail. And they brought it to me on the set, and I thought, oh, that's nice. They brought me 20 or 30 letters. I sat down one day during lunch and personally sent notes to and sent autographed photographs to everybody who had written to me in that batch of mail. And then a couple days later, they brought me another package of mail, and now there were 80 or 90 letters. And I thought, well, this is getting to be a chore, but I'll try to do it if I possibly can to answer all this mail. So I did over a period of two or three days. And then the next batch that came was several hundred pieces of mail. And then, within three or four more weeks, it was up to several thousand pieces of mail. Each time they brought me the days of the week's delivery. So obviously it became physically impossible to respond to everybody personally. And we did see to it that everybody got some kind of response, photographs or whatever. But it grew geometrically. And if we didn't know whether or not the series was going to be tremendously successful, at least we did know immediately that, or very quickly, that we had a character that had captured a lot of people's imagination. I thought that the pattern would be similar to the end pattern of any television series. You'd have a period of perhaps 2 or 3 years of reruns, and then it would quietly go away. And that seemed to be the course it was taking in 1969, 70, 71. In 72, I was under contract at Universal. And suddenly my phone started ringing more and more regularly and the mail started picking up again, and all of it was Star Trek. And I thought, this is really strange. I don't know where this is all coming from. But what was happening then was the phenomenal rebirth of the series in syndication. Colleges were stopping because all the students were in the lounges watching Star Trek. Be scheduled at dinner time 5 nights a week at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and I'd be getting mail from all these ladies and telling me that I was destroying their dinner hour because their kids and their husbands wouldn't come to eat dinner. It was an amazing rebirth, and I don't know of any other series that's ever had that kind of phenomenon.
The death of Spock is like an open wound. It seems that I have left the noblest part of myself back there on that newborn planet.
He's a man of dignity, he's intelligent, he's charming, he's witty, he's attractive, and I have become all of those things.